Welcome to Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meet biblical wisdom. My name is Joseph Kolawole Ola, and with me today is
Anola. Welcome.
So Anu will tell us about our proverb for today, and we'll kick off today's episode.
Okay, so today's proverb is on confidence, and it goes thus: Nibologbewa niwaju eku. I'll say it again. Nibologbewa niwaju eku. And it simply means, where is it? Is a great insult to the leopard.
Yeah, that's like the English translation. But the proverb needs a bit of context to kind of make it make sense. Because I think it's like one of those rhetorical statements that you would use in a certain kind of scenario where someone is acting somewhat in ignorance when there is something so obvious that they are missing out on. I mean, the context of the proverb itself is like saying leopards are pretty unmistakable amongst animals because of their spots, amongst other things. And when you are asking, where is the leopard? It's almost a very insulting question to the leopard itself, because the leopard is like, what do you mean? Of all the animals that are here, you can't recognize me, and you are asking, where is it? Where is the leopard? Why the leopard is there? It's an insult for the leopard. The idea is that the leopard is so self-important that it will take offense if anybody should be asking where it was or which it was among other animals. So that's where this is coming from, in that sense.
Okay.
So any thoughts, what comes to your mind first in terms of practical applications, biblical tangents that we could get from this proverb?
So when I read the proverb, what I thought was, as Christians, our presence should announce itself. So we shouldn't do too much to be announced. What came to my mind was Romans 8:16, that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Same way a leopard wouldn't be, they're well, what's the word, they're easily identifiable. Same way we should also be easily identifiable as Christians in any sphere of our lives, when we go to our work, when we whatever we do, basically. So we don't have the capacity to camouflage, to be a Black Panther when we go to work, and then when we go to our children's school, to be like a snake. Like, we don't have to camouflage, we don't have to switch sides. We just have to be who we are. And then that brings me to 2 Timothy 2:4, that says that a soldier refrains from entangling himself in civilian affairs in order to please the one who enlisted him, his commanding officer. So basically, we have an audience of one. We know what our goal is. The leopard's presence would announce itself. So times where our identity as Christians gets, gets attacked, or people are doubting your Christianity, or wanting you to prove your Christianity or do more than you would usually do, I think this proverb then comes into play, in the sense that you do not engage yourself with things that are outside of your instructions. You're a soldier. You live to please your commanding officer. You live to follow instructions. And as Christians as well, we live to follow instructions. And it has been clearly laid down by God. When humans wants to come and add X, Y, Z to it, we would do well not to just entangle ourselves in that. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Fala?
I mean, that was an interesting way to look at it. I see that you're taking it from that perspective of us being the leopards and making some interesting deductions from that. I'm looking at it from the perspective of like how the proverb would be used in the sense of awakening someone to the reality of their ignorance. Like, how can you be asking that, who is who is Kolaola.
Also, you're talking from the church. Point of the person who's asking the question, right?
Exactly. It's like when, I mean, there's this other proverb that says, which literally just means a child that can't, it doesn't know the difference between a normal vegetable and the kind of vegetable that would be used for medicinal purposes or for charm or whatever. Because to a child, everything is just vegetable, but vegetables differ from vegetables. So in that sense, I'm thinking of Nebuchadnezzar and his encounter with God, if you will, in Daniel chapter 4. I mean, here he was just strolling on the roof of his palace and making it sounded like a normal comment. He said, is this not the great Babylon that I've built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Like, look at all of this. I did this. I made all this possible. And Bible says in Daniel 4, verse 31, even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven saying, this is what has been decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your authority has been taken from you. You'll be driven away from people. You will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was living in a way that confronted the audacity of God's sovereignty, if you will. He was ascribing to himself what should be exclusively God's. He was saying he has done stuff which, in some sense, he has done it. He's the king. He's the one that gave the order for this one to be done and that one to be built and things like that. But he forgot the one who gave breath to him. He forgot the one who made him and made it possible for anything that he has done to be done. And so I'm looking at it from that perspective of how often do we also do that? I mean, God may not necessarily send us to live with wild animals and become a beast again to teach us this lesson, because he has taught one person and have it documented in his word so that we can learn from it, that by our actions, by our speech, we don't for any reason at any point in time take from God that which belongs to him exclusively, namely his glory, in that sense. The other sense that I then look at it from as well is in relation to the devil, in a sense. Like, the devil will continually try to make us, you know, to belittle God before us, either in terms of when we face life challenges or when we are comfortable, and he sings all these songs of, you know, you can do well to forget God now. You don't have to go to church now. You don't have to be as committed as you used to be to your spiritual disciplines now. And if God is not taking those kind of, you know, sermons of from the pit of hell, can become so appealing to our ears, because that's what we want to hear. That's what our flesh wants in our state of comfort. But Bible says they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. In fact, the context of that passage in Daniel 11:32 is of a king from the north that would come, and he will find those who are already kind of like detaching themselves off from the covenant, and then he will begin to sing, you know, flatter them and tell them all these lies and bring all this deception that can easily sweep them off totally away from the way of the Lord. But they who know their God, he says, will be strong and they will fight back. They will be able to talk back when the devil is bringing all those attractions and saying, see, you don't have to do that now. You don't have to do this now. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to, you know, fast this week. God is gracious and things like, and it starts contaminating the truth for us. We that know our God will be saying, how can you be belittling God and his place and his role like that in my life? I would rather shut you down and take, you know, bearing from the Holy Spirit and not from the pit of hell. Is there any other concluding thoughts that you'd like to share as we land the conversation?
No. Oh yeah, just to say that if as a Christian your identity is attacked and someone comes before you and says, "Where are you when you are there?" And this kind of word, they don't just attack, it's not just attacking our feelings. It's as though they are attacking our core, our person. So when those kind of things happen, we just remember whose you are. The Spirit of God testifies with the Spirit in you that you are a child of God. Just keep that truth, hold it to heart, and let that be enough to console you. We don't have to fight or stand in argument to prove who we are. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And that's will be all for today. We'll see you again sometime soon with another proverb that we'll be reflecting on. Till then, remain
an Omoluabi.
God bless you.
Bye.